Well, you know my theory. It's the 20% of the people on the far right and the 20% on the far left that are ruining this country for the rest of us. We deserve better.
The Andy Finch Show. Something special in the airwaves.
We deserve better. We deserve better.
Well, we certainly deserve better than Ann Coulter, Danny, and you're getting it tonight. So, let me go back to this quote. As she's talking about religion, she says, quote, "Liberals swoon in pagan admiration of Mother Earth, mystified and overawed by her power." First of all, I'm not sure that liberals do swoon that way, but there are two basic types of religions in human history. And if you want a source for this, the work of Ken Wilber is pretty good. He does a nice job treating this issue. There are religions like Druids and a few others that worship the physical body, the physical earth, and argue that physicality is the fundamental reality that we can experience, and therefore it is what is real about the universe. The sun, the stars, all of it is physicality, and that is what you worship. You know, the Egyptians worshiped the sun. They didn't have an anthropomorphic god that created the sun. They just worshiped the sun. That is a religion that is what Wilber calls a descending religion. That is, it deals with the physical, and it says we don't know much, or we can't know much about the spiritual, the soul, the non-physical, and I'm not concerned with it. And while it may not be evil, it's not what is good and holy. What's holy is Mother Earth, that kind of thing. Okay, that's one way to approach the universe. The other way, and the most common way in Western societies, and even Eastern societies, is the notion of spirituality, right? The idea that the physical universe is here, but it's not everything. In fact, in some ways, it's an illusion. That would be a Buddhist perspective. But in Christianity and a couple of other religions, the idea is that it's a form of distraction. Well, actually, in Buddhism, it's a form of distraction. In Christianity, it's a form of evil. That is, too much focus on the physical, whether it's sex or food or, you know, in the form of gluttony or something, is bad. And we should eschew the body, eschew the physical, and strive for the spiritual, you know, tune into the soul, and go for the spiritual God who is not the physical universe, but created the physical universe. And that's a fine orientation, too. You know, what one thing Wilber argues is everybody's right. Everybody has a piece of the truth. But it's interesting that Ann Coulter puts liberals in this category, since I can't name, I don't have any liberal friends that believe in a descending religion. That is a religion that puts the physical first. Most of my friends that are religious, all of my friends that are religious, put the spiritual first. Put the soul first. And in the case of those that are Christians, put the Christian beliefs first. Let's go on. Liberals hate science and react badly to it. Well, this is actually completely wrong, but I'll go on and quote her. They will literally run from the room, lightheaded and nauseated, when told of data that might suggest that the sexes have different abilities in math and science. I think this is a reference to Lawrence Summers' comments recently, or just general gender differences. Okay, now, what she gets wrong there is that what liberals don't want to see is men and women pigeonholed based on the differences. Of course there are gender differences. They're measured by scientists and by people in universities all the time. And, of course, it's liberals that are doing the measuring, Anne, because, of course, the university is rife with liberals, according to her. But the idea that liberals don't agree when the data says the sexes have different abilities in math and science, it's true. But what they argue is that they are not necessarily innate, that the mind of a woman and a mind of a man could both grasp science or anything else, that it's in the enculturation process. It's how we bring up little boys and little girls that make for the differences. And so the argument is, since human beings as possibility can be anything, women should be allowed to grow up to be scientists and mathematicians, and men should be allowed to grow up to be cooks Well, it turns out they are. So the finest chefs, the best, most expensive jobs, most well-paying jobs in restaurants around the world are held by men. She goes on, they repudiate science, this is liberals, when it contradicts their pagan beliefs. That the AIDS virus doesn't discriminate, that there's no such thing as IQ, that nuclear power is dangerous and scary, or that breast implants cause disease. Now, this is a poorly worded sentence, but what I think she means to say here is that liberals don't like it when science shows things that they would rather not believe. And so I'll just deal with two of these, that the AIDS virus doesn't discriminate. She's saying we should call a spade, AIDS is mostly passed among homosexuals. We should acknowledge it's a homosexual disease. I assume this is where she's going with all of this, and that liberals are too sensitive about all of this. Well, on some level, she's right about that. You know, if there was a plan to tattoo the genitals of everybody that had AIDS so that anybody could figure out that somebody already had AIDS, I'd give it consideration, right? Because these diseases need to be stopped. So in some ways, I'm very conservative about that. Most human rights experts would say, would shriek at the idea that I just suggested. Let's go on to her second one. Liberals are recoil when it suggested there's no such thing as IQ. Anne, there is no such thing as IQ. Now, let me explain this. This is where I don't think she understands science. Of course there's such a thing as IQ. We all have been given a number called IQ. But it's not real. It might be useful. Plenty of things are useful, right? Theories aren't real. Ideas aren't real. Concepts aren't real. Paradigms aren't real. By that I mean they don't exist in the physical world. You can't point to them in the physical world. You can't pick them up. You can't say, ah, there's IQ in the physical world. No, they are, ideas are structures in the mind that correspond to something in the physical world and therefore may be useful. So concepts are that way. Ideas and concepts can be useful. And IQ is an example I use with my students when I'm teaching research methods. And I point out to them that it's not real. Not like it might not be useful, but there's an average IQ of 100 in this country. Well, what's real about that? That's an arbitrary number we set. And for everybody that has an IQ of 80, there's somebody out there with an IQ of 120. And for everybody who's genius at 145, there's an idiot at 65. Actually, 55. Right? Because the average is 100. So it's an artificial construct measured through a test that is a set of questions that's somewhat artificial. And one of the things we've learned over time is that there are biases in the IQ test. Now, there are many different IQ tests. You know, we used to use the Stanford-Binet test, and it turns out that wasn't as good a measure as the WACE, the Wechsler Adult Intelligence Scale. But what Anne's getting at is the fact that many people complain about IQ, particularly leaders in the Black community, arguing that there's a bias, and women's groups will argue there's a bias because the questions tend to favor, they're culturally bound, right? Everything happens in a context. And this is something that conservatives don't accept and Ann Coulter doesn't accept. She thinks there's truth out there, truth with a capital T, ideas that are true by definition and that they're not contextual. It turns out that when you become developed intellectually, you understand that everything, every idea a human being's ever had exists in some context. I didn't say there aren't values that are universal. I said that every idea happens in a context. And in those contexts, when you create questions for an IQ test, if it's white men making up the questions, and that's the way it is in a society dominated by white men, the questions may end up favoring white men. So when she says that liberals don't think there's IQ, I think most liberals do think there is IQ. I don't think most of them have as sophisticated a view of IQ as I do, because most of them haven't thought through this idea of concepts. But she's wrong on several levels. Let me move on. So she goes on to say, let's see, where will we go here? The core of the Judeo-Christian tradition says that we are utterly and distinctly apart from other species. We have dominion over the plants and animals on the earth. God gave it to us. It is ours, as stated succinctly in the book of Genesis. Liberals would sooner trust the stewardship of earth to Shetland ponies and dung beetles. All their pseudoscience support an alternative religion which says we are an insignificant part of nature. Well, where to start here? So she's very big on this. We have dominion over the plants and animals. She basically thinks we should be able to kill anything. We should be able to do anything. We should do everything however we want, all of that. And that within the U.S., because we're the dominant power, we should lay waste to other societies or other people or forests if we want, all that stuff. And it's true. We, quote, can do that. One of the things about moral development that's been discovered, and I'll just use, there's many schemes of moral development out there from Piaget and Kohlberg to the kinds of things that William Perry does. I'm going to use the work of Carol Gilligan here. She basically found that in women, there are three levels of moral development, and they are concern for self, right? Selfishness. Concern for the others around you. A woman becomes a wife, or she grows up and is a good daughter. She becomes a wife. She has a child and looks out for the baby or babies. And then concern for everyone, concern for all others. This idea of a global concern, like Mother Teresa had. Right? And those are the three basic stages. Now, I'm simplifying this. You can come up with stage models that have 7 stages, 11 stages, whatever. But people don't go backwards in these stages. They always go in the same direction. You go from a selfishness to a concern for those around you, maybe everyone in your country, to a concern for everyone in the world, and then everyone in the universe. That's the way it works. Let's talk about Jesus. He was the most highly developed, one of the most highly developed people on earth, as was Buddha, as was a whole variety of other religious leaders. We could use Gandhi, we could use Nelson Mandela, we could use Muhammad, we could use a whole variety of people. We could use our founding fathers, right? But it never goes the other way. Nobody ever starts with concern for the whole world and backs up to just concern for their family and then selfishness. When you go the other direction, it tends to be a form of dysfunction. Now, there's quite a bit of evidence out there to support these positions, but Ann Coulter seems ignorant of them because she argues we have dominion over the plants and animals. No, it turns out that the vegetarianism, which she likes to mock, and frankly, I'm not a vegetarian, I'm not that highly evolved, but there is something to be said for vegetarianism, and that is that by not eating animals, it shows a concern for sentient beings that are nearly as highly developed as we are. Now, she'd roll her eyes at this because she would say, no, the humans are so much higher advanced. And this really is the crux of the issue. When you get down to it, when it comes down to why Darwinism shakes the foundation of Christians, just to pick one group, but people who believe in a anthropomorphic God and don't have a very sophisticated version of it, because there's hundreds of millions of people that believe in a Christian God that have no problem with evolution and science. Okay? I got a brother that teaches theology at St. John's University in Minnesota. And he understands evolution is a fact of life, but it doesn't threaten his belief in God, in the Trinity, in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as Lord and Savior. They're not at odds. But back to evolution, Darwin turned the world on its ear because what Genesis said was that God created the animals one day and man the next day, and man was created in God's image and likeness. I mean, if you think about the arrogance in that, right? The idea that we decided, of course, again, I'm starting with the idea that the books of the Bible were written by men. And as far as I know, no one disagrees with it. It's the inspired word of God, but nobody argues God wrote it and then passed it on to us. It was written by men. There's a certain arrogance, if you think about it, in the notion that God said, you know, I'm going to create man to look like me. And again, of course, we say man, not woman. And God's a man, isn't he? God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Ghost might be female. We're not sure. We represent him as a bird, usually. He used to be a ghost, but now he's a bird, a dove or a whatever. But it's very culturally bound. Okay? But Anne believed that because Genesis says it, that man was given dominion over the animals. And so we should be able to do whatever we want with the animals. And she's fond of talking about that. And because it says so in Genesis, that's what she believes. Now, what she says liberals believe is they would trust the stewardship of the earth to Shetland ponies and dung beetles. And I guess this is the satire that she's so well known for or something, because it's certainly drivel by any other name. Here's the point. If there's a tension here between religion and what she's calling liberalism, it's not political liberalism, as she likes to attack the Michael Moores and the Al Frankens and maybe me and the Democratic Party and all of that. No, the tension goes back to the Enlightenment. It goes back to the 17th century when science demonstrated that it had a better explanation for many, many things that were happening in the world than the church had. And when we come back from this break, I'm going to go a little farther into that and explain the generic version of liberalism and the tension between that and religion, because there is a real tension there.